This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
Today we want to talk about public information officers, help or hindrance. What do you think, Lisa?
It depends on how well the person does his or her job, is what I think. I've had experience with both, and sometimes they can, you know, lead you to access if you have a good working relationship with a PIO you deal with on a regular basis, and get you in to see people that you need for your beat. And others are just, like, as you say, a hindrance, and won't let you talk to the source you want to, or do the speaking for an agency when you'd rather talk to maybe an expert.
Well, the president of RTDNA, Vince Duffy, who's also news director of Michigan Public Radio, wrote about this issue recently, and that's sort of the launching point for our discussion. He seems to think more and more public information officers are becoming a hindrance rather than a help. It used to be you could turn to a public information officer, a specialist like that, if you were working on a story and you needed an expert of some type, somebody who could help you, give you some information for the story. And now it seems like more and more of these PIOs want to control the information and monitor your interview and just make it more difficult for you to get the details that you need for your story.
Hmm. Yeah, I've always kind of equated the title public information officer with, you know, public relations somehow. I mean, in my mind, that's always been just sort of an assumed connection going on there. And I think, you know, probably there is a great deal of information massage going on in public information offices. That's just kind of become their function. I don't know. I'm not really surprised, you know, to hear that there is that criticism of the position of being a PIO. I always kind of assumed that's how it was.
It's a position I don't think we run into a lot on the local level, right, in this market, just because governments are so small, budgets are so tight. That's the type of position that would probably get the budget axe right away if you're looking to cut spending a little bit. But it's a position I think you would see in larger markets and certainly with larger units of government.
I think probably the best example locally would be Western, because I tell my students, if you need an expert on campus, start in the public information office, mm-hmm, because they know the campus and they can steer you to the right person and save you time and be helpful to you. But you're right.
Go ahead.
You could talk to the mayor and you're right.
Right.
The alderman without going through PIOs is true.
And at Western, at least in my experience, there's not been a problem. There's, you know, the specialists, the people from public relations or university relations, I should say, don't say that they must sit in on the interview or approve what's said ahead of time. They basically just direct you to an expert and you're on your way.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's a good example of someone who's helpful in navigating a big territory. When I have a problem is when a PIO would want to, you know, sit and monitor an interview and
maybe cut it off if they don't like the direction the interview is going. I want to mention an example cited by Vince Duffy in his article. New York Department of Transportation engineer Michael Fayette said he was forced out at his job for speaking to the press without permission. His crime? He was quoted in the Adirondack Daily Enterprise praising the work his agency did in the aftermath of Hurricane Irene. He praised his organization without permission from the PIO, and he got in trouble for that. He told local media that as part of his disciplinary interrogation, and that's what they called it, was disciplinary interrogation, he was handed DOT's news media contact policy, which says approval of the agency's public affairs office is required for any oral or written statement given to news media representatives. And Vince Duffy poses the question, Do you think that might have a chilling effect on the rest of the DOT? Should they want to talk to the press?
That kind of reminds me of, you know, persons who drive a pickup truck with a blade on the front getting cited for unauthorized snow removal. You know, it's sort of like they're trying to do something good for the community, or in this case, the company the guy worked for, and he got reprimanded, fired for doing the right thing. So, yeah, it gets a little silly. But, of course, I suppose there has to be a policy in place in a corporate context like that so that people don't go and say bad things. But, you know, it does seem kind of counterintuitive and frustrating for that poor person.
Even to say bad things, to prohibit someone from saying bad things is
right.
Controlling
yeah.
the message. That's you're trying to prevent perhaps a whistleblower from pointing out that there's some fraud or waste at the government level.
I think this employee would have a grievance. The punishment
yeah,
doesn't fit the crime here.
I think.
I believe there are a couple of veteran journalists, Linda Peterson and Catherine Foxhall, who have started a website called StopTheNewAmericanCensorship.org. And their goal is to stop government agencies at all levels and hospitals, universities, associations, private companies from prohibiting employees from speaking to journalists without getting permission from the Public Information Office. And they're hoping that people will post examples to their blog site and so that it's more widely known how certain people are trying to control the message.
It makes me wonder if in the age of social media, maybe they're trying even harder. Agencies and businesses and so on are trying even harder to control the message. I've been away from the business for a few years, and maybe it's gotten worse. People do like to control the news about themselves. I think it's fine to have some kind of protocol in place, some kind of system, but maybe they're pushing too hard.
Well, should an employee, you know, that's a good point. So should an employee be prohibited from griping about the job on Facebook or posting a tweet about something he or she sees that as wrong? What do you think?
Yeah. There, well, I don't know about, you know, in the case of journalism and, you know, public information officers, but I seem to recall recently reading about cheerleaders who have been fired from, you know, the team they cheerleader for because they tweeted something that was deemed to be inappropriate or they were reprimanded. I don't know. I mean, there's a line somewhere that needs to be drawn as to how much flexibility, how much freedom you have to express your opinion about the folks you work for or anything else in particular. I suppose as long as it's clear and consistently applied, something like that is okay. But I wonder how often it is. So,
I mean, especially with government officials, back to the need for PIOs, it's when you're speaking to reporters, you're speaking to an agent of the public. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's for government leaders, at least, it's part of their civic duty to talk to journalists directly and be accessible.
I would agree with that. And I must also say that we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.